We are joined by somebody who played 12 years in the NFL, had an amazing career, six-time All-Pro, 9 Pro Bowls, a member of the 2000s All-Decade Team, a member of the 100th Anniversary All-Time Team. He was the 6th pick overall in 1997 out of Florida State. He is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he appears courtesy today of the 96 Check Initiative. I'm speaking of Walter Jones. Walter, it's great to have you on the show. First off, how are you doing, and how is your life right now, Walter?
I'm doing good, man. Everything is going according to plan. I think now that we're in this stale for about 4 months now, so I think everybody's trying to figure it out, trying to do the right thing. So everything's going good, and I just want to say thank you for having me on here and getting a chance to talk about 96 Check.
You know, Walter, it's great to have you on, and why don't we get right to that? I want to get into it because I really, really like what you're doing. You're part of the 96 Check initiative, and it takes place on Sunday. Lay this out for everybody. What is that initiative about, and how did that first come to be?
Oh, well, the 96 Check came to be about I lost one of my former players and a best friend, Cortez Kennedy, one of my Hall of Fame classmates, passed away 3 years ago. And the one thing that, you know, everybody was trying to find ways to kind of tell stories about Cortez Kennedy. And mine was all about Cortez during the offseason, during the season. You know, Tess would always check in on you. You know, he could call you at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, and you're thinking something is wrong, and he's just calling to check in on you. So that was something that he always did. And then the thing about it, that when I met other people that knew Cortez Kennedy, that's the same story that they would say too. So from that standpoint, I just wanted to kind of start something where a lot of times once we leave this game, we forget about the people that we play with, people that was part of your team. So I just wanted to start somewhere where you check in on those guys. And just check in, you know, I have my family doing it, I have my friends doing it too, where you just checking in on people. A lot of times we get so busy in our own life or what we're doing, and we forget about those people. So you just want to check in on those people. And a lot of times with former players, you want to help those guys. Sometimes somebody can be struggling. But a lot of times I'm not looking for your personal life. I just want to be someone that if you need to talk, I'm here to talk to you. So that's how I started the 96 Check Initiative 2 years ago. And it's something that a lot of players have really appreciated, because when you call those guys appreciate it. And then you see those guys probably 2 months later or 3 months later, and they'll come up to you and say, hey, Walt, man, that really helped me. And, you know, like I said, they don't go into details on their personal life, but sometimes some guys do, because sometimes guys are going through some hard times, and you just want to be there for those guys or put those guys in the right direction to try to get some help.
Walter Jones, Hall of Famer, is joining us. There's so much good stuff in that answer that you just shared. Like Cortez Kennedy, to me, I've told the story before, and I don't need to go full length on this, Walter, but he was a guy that I interviewed early in my career. He came on my TV show. Mantez, he was such a good dude, such a good dude. He was like larger than life. And in terms of the initiative itself, when you talk about calling people and what that means, it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, Walter, but everybody is so quick to look for the shortcut, to thumb out a text. Nobody picks up the phone, man. Nobody picks up the phone and has an actual conversation. What are the calls like when you check in on friends and former teammates? What are the conversations like, and then how do you feel after you have that conversation?
I feel pretty good. I think the number one thing, what I do now, when I'm talking to someone, maybe I'm talking to someone business-like or something, sometimes when you're having those conversations, sometimes people see you as just you're doing business, but if you ask about their family or ask them how they're doing, it kind of put them in a different mood. So that's pretty cool for me. And then with players, a lot of times I don't call the normal players. A lot of times you have a connection with the guys that you play with right beside you, guys that was, I guess you say, the starting guys. But what I do is I call a lot of the guys that was part of the team, the second and third team guys, to let them know, hey, I remember you on the team and that you was part of this team. And like I said, a lot of times you forget about those guys, so you just want to call those guys. Like I say, a lot of times, you know, you might have one or two guys that might have some issues, and they go into details, and a lot of times guys are just excited that you calling them, you know, because a lot of times once this game has left you, you know, you're trying to figure out things and trying to figure out what you're going to do next. So anytime you hear from people, guys that you play with when you was playing this game at a very high level, that means a lot to those guys.
We are talking to Walter Jones, Hall of Famer, appearing courtesy of the 96 Check Initiative. Let me ask you about your career. There's a story that before the draft, you went to St. Louis, then you went to Oakland, and you were getting set to go home from Oakland, but your agent said you had to fly to Seattle for a visit. What do you remember about that visit, and did you get the sense that the team wanted you?
You know, at that time, when I flew out to Oakland, I honestly thought that Oakland kind of laid out the red carpet. You know, St. Louis did the same thing. I think St. Louis, you know, I understood at that time when I was coming out, Orlando Pace was the top offensive lineman coming out. And at that point, I just said, hey, Orlando only can go to one team, you know. And St. Louis told me, they said, hey, if Orlando wasn't in this draft, you would be our pick. But at that time, you know, I was young guy. You know, my name wasn't out there, so I just wanted to get my foot in the NFL. And so when I left Oakland, I kind of thought, okay, Oakland's where I'm going. Oakland had all the coaches there, had everybody there, had me, had a round table. It felt like, you know, they kind of made me feel special. And then when I went out to Seattle, there was only, you know, one coach there. That was the offensive line coach, Coach Howard Mudd. And he came in. There was nobody at the complex. There was nobody there. We walked into his office, and he showed me a play. He asked me what I was doing on this play, what was I thinking on this play. And that was it. And then he was like, hey, you want to walk around and see the locker room? There was literally nobody there. So, and once I got on the plane, I called my agent. I was like, hey, man, I don't know about that interview. That did, you know, it was a quick interview. It was probably 30 minutes of talk time and then walking through and seeing the complex, and then I was headed to the airport. So I didn't feel like, you know, Seattle was going to be the team that picked me. I just didn't have that feeling. But, you know, with this draft, you never know. So I always tell young guys, don't take the team that doesn't lay out the red carpet that they're not interested in you. So at that point, but once I got drafted by Seattle, I thought it was the best decision for me and the best place for me to play football.
Walter Jones joining us, and Howard Mudd, I know, was very important to you. He passed away recently. So, Walter, if you're coming out of college and you really didn't play in a lot of games in college and your goal was to get into the NFL and get your foot in the door somehow, I mean, did you ultimately know that if given the opportunity, you were going to be a really special player? I mean, was the Hall of Fame even on your radar at that point?
Oh, not at all. I think for me personally, I come from a family of eight of us. I was the baby, a single mom. I thought it was an opportunity. I had a high school coach that kind of showed me the way and told me that, you know, my high school coach, once I started playing ball for him, he told me I was $1 million walking around broke. And I didn't understand it at that time, but I knew then that, you know, he told me that I could be special, I could do this. So, I threw all my eggs in a basket. And I said, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to change my life. I'm going to change my family life. And I changed my kids' life. So I put everything I had into it. I honestly didn't even think about the Hall of Fame until I went to the enshrinement of Cortez Kennedy. And he said, hey, Walt, you're going to be next. And that's kind of when it hit me, you know, saying that, you know, I've done everything I can do on the football field. And now let's see what happens. And for me personally, it's a major accomplishment coming from where I came from to be able to play with one team my entire career, to call Seattle my home. It's pretty amazing to be able to, every day I step out the door, to represent the Hall of Fame and then represent the Seattle Seahawks and especially the NFL.
Walter Jones joining me for a few more moments. He's a Hall of Famer and appearing courtesy of the 96 Check Initiative. You know, I do want to talk to you about your career some more, but you mentioned Tez once again. I'm curious, like, when you showed up, what was it like as a rookie when you showed up and Cortez was there? And what was he like as a mentor to younger players?
You know, I got in there in 1997, so it was still that old type way you treat rookies. You had to earn your stripes. You had to go out there and fight and show your way. You know, a lot of times now guys get drafted high. They automatically come in as the guy. Sometimes they come in as the leader. But I came in into where you had to earn your stripes by playing on the football field. And Tess, my rookie year, Tess was tough on me, man. He was he didn't give me no slack. You know, a lot of times when you begin ready to start practice and most of the time the offensive linemen and the defensive linemen are all in a huddle talking about anything. They can be talking about practice. They can be talking about going out or something. And so as a rookie, you get into that group and you're thinking like, okay, I'm part of the group. And then you get in there and you start putting in your two cents about, you know, what's going on or what they're talking about. And Tess will look dead in your face and tell you to shut up, Rook. You know what I'm saying? If I want you to talk, I give you your two cents. So at that point, but, you know, I understood that's the way it is. It's all about what you do on the football field. And, you know, I was, you know, everybody was talking about me, Walter Jones, but Cortez was kind of like, you got the, you know, Cortez was the guy, you know, a defensive player of the year. He was Mr. Seahawks. So for me, it wasn't about trying to earn his respect. It was about going out there and producing. And once I started doing that, you know, he kind of took me under his wing and kind of showed me the ropes. And for me personally, just seeing the guy, the way that he treated everybody in the building. You know, a lot of times we're, as players, we're stuck in the locker room. We never go upstairs. And just hanging around Cortez, Cortez knew everybody in the building, from the cooks to everybody that works upstairs, because there's so many people that does so much work for the Seahawks that sometimes you don't even get a chance to meet in your lifetime. So I always tell young guys to always go up and meet those people that, that literally is the brains to the whole operation. So go up there and meet those people, because they are fans of you. They fans of the team. So for me, I try to learn that from Cortez, to get to know those people, to see those people as friends too. We still understand it's a business, but still and again, you have to be able to know those people personally.
Walter, tell me if this sounds about right to you, and I'm going to give you the real short version of the story because I'm thinking about this again. So I think I interviewed Cortez for the first time on my ESPN2 show in 1993 or 94, and then I want to say that the Super Bowl in Miami, I believe, was in 95, and we were at the baggage carousel together, and he was such a good guy that I was just some media dope. Well, I still am a media dope, but like we had this great rapport. Like he's like, hey, Rome, what's going on? I'm like, what are you doing, Tez? And I was kind of young and naive, and we were out on the road. And somehow it comes up like, hey, man, you want to go out and get a pop or maybe two pops? I literally am in a restaurant with Cortez, and now I've had more than one or two, Walter. And right around the middle of the night, he looks at me. He's like, yo, man, why were you calling me fat on your TV show? I'm like, hey, I thought he was being funny. He's like, no, man, seriously, why were you calling me fat? And the genesis of this, Walter, was when he was in college, the coaches were on him to lose weight. And when I was a younger guy and I had a TV show, like I was all over this. And I'm pushing him hard. And I can't figure out if he's messing with me or not, because that's Tez. And because I've probably had two or five beers or more. And then we have this whole thing. And I'm like, man, I hope I'm not on the wrong side of Tez. Does that sound like something Tez would do?
That's totally sound like Tez. You know, the one story that I can remember as a rookie, you know, Tez would throw at his house every year at the end of training camp. He threw this big barbecue where he bring everybody over to the house, to his house. And so rookies was in charge of bringing all the alcohol, all the soda. So he would just walk up to your locker and be like, hey, Rook, I need for you to bring this, this, this. And at that time, you know, you don't even know the city. You don't know how to get around. You know, the team is driving you everywhere around, so you don't even have a rental car. I think only one rookie had a rental car. So think about everybody is trying to get in one car to try to get to Cortez's house. They didn't know nothing. They didn't know where no stores was or nothing like that. So for him to just come up to a young guy and tell him what you're doing, how you're doing it. So I think he just kind of – that's the way he is, but have a big heart, man. I think the thing about him, he taught me still again, was put great people around you. A lot of times you're thinking like we have to be around everybody that we play with, but I think Tez did a great job of putting people that did normal stuff, normal jobs, that the cops, the people that worked in it, like you're saying, he offered those people out to come out to drink. That's totally him. He will walk in the cafeteria and tell all the cookers out there to get there and work, hey, let's go out for a drink or something like that. So that's totally Tez, and that was him 100%.
A gigantic heart. All right, so one final thought. I love talking to offensive linemen about their favorite matchups. There's this crazy, crazy stat. You played 12 years in the NFL, and you had 9 holding penalties your entire career, which is mind-blowing. So when you think about some of the great matchups you had and the guys who would bring out the very best in you, who are a few guys that come to mind?
Oh, so many. I can remember Bruce Smith, Kansas City, Derek Thomas. I think Derek Thomas was probably my first introduction into the NFL, you know, going to Arrowhead and, you know, you seeing Derrick Brooks getting the crowd going. And that's kind of was my introduction where I said, okay, I blocked him good enough. And I'm like, okay, I can play in this game. I would say Bruce Smith. I would say OC from the New York Giants. Gave me fits. One guy that totally gave me fits, he probably, I don't know if you know his name, he's not a household name, but when I say his name, a lot of people know his name, from San Diego Chargers, Raley Johnson. Oh, man, just gave me fits. Never was like beat me for sacks, but he made me work, you know, just trying to keep me focused on my hands and where I placed my hand. He was so good at his hands. If you put your hands where they're not supposed to be, you know, he would definitely use his hands and have you all over the place. So that was one guy that definitely, when I played against him, I had to be focused the entire game.
I remember him, Walter. You know who one of my favorite guys back in the day, when you mentioned that, one of my favorite guys to talk to back in the day, man, he was a baller too, a player all day long, Leslie O'Neal.
Yes, yes, yes. Leslie got me too a couple of times when I first got in the league. My first my rookie game with the Seahawks. We playing the 49ers, and he got me pretty good, man. He was like, hey, welcome to the NFL, Rook. You know, he kind of gave me a headbutt, and I was like, oh, my God. So that, you know, but I think that's just part of the game, to trying to figure out, can you play in this game? I think we all need that as offensive linemen. We need to be thrown in the fire, and we learn on the go.
What a great conversation. He is a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, 12 NFL seasons, and today, courtesy of 96 Check Initiative. Walter, so great to have you on the show. Great to get caught up, and I really appreciate that conversation. It's a great initiative. Thanks for sharing it with us.
All right, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for having me on.
That was fun. Walter Jones. Anything also, there is so much to like about that interview, but I haven't thought about Leslie O'Neal of late. I love Leslie O'Neal. You Charger fans know what I'm talking about. That was a great football player and a great personality. And my man Leslie now, he was one of those guys, when you asked me about interviewing athletes, that I knew I had to be sharp for. I knew I had to be ready, because he liked to mess with you too. Loves golf.